Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Kings Podcast. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, here's how it works. And I'm the only one who does anything like this. It's the way I wrap up the week. It's my most popular podcast on Fridays. But I only do the most insane things that we've never seen before, either in human history or in modern world history. So it's insane that I can do this every week, but these are the times we live in. And this is going to be an unusual edition of the Insane Things podcast because we have a record-breaking number of insane things to cover this week. So insane thing number 15, Trump goes to war, exactly as the founders intended to use the military. The media freaked out this week when Trump sent 1,500 actual members of the military to the border. That's on top of the 2,500 Biden already has there for a total of 4,000. But the big story was the memo that CBS got a hold of that says Trump intends to send 10,000 more. If you're keeping count, that's a 14,000-strong standing army on the U.S. border. Ha! Exactly where the founders intended our military to be used, not for silly foreign conflicts. But for the media and the Democrat Party anyway, it gets worse. Trump is also intending to use Pentagon planes, military planes, around the clock to conduct deportation flights. Brilliant. And where is he going to hold all these illegals? Military bases. Yep, we've got over 400 of those. Trump wants to use them to hold illegal immigrants. It can be done. The Biden administration actually snuck illegal immigrants onto our military bases to hide them while shuffling them into the country as part of the voter drive. Trump's going to do the same, except he's shuffling them the other way. And the best part of all, the media, in a panic, asking, what will happen when the cartels and the coyotes fire at members of our military on the border? They do this regularly to the Border Patrol, by the way. The Border Patrol, for the most part, is not allowed to fire back. I loved the answer. Well, they're the military. If they get shot at, they'll shoot back. What a difference, folks, from the way that the Biden administration was using the cartels. Remember when the Attorney General of Texas told us, remember the podcast I did, that the Democrat Party was effectively merging with the cartels? That the Border Patrol went from chasing them off, preferably with guns, to coordinating with them over cell phones so that they could drop off their illegal immigrant cargo and we would pick it up and move it into the country. This changes the entire relationship. The media was naturally horrified that we'd actually be shooting at the cartels instead of doing business with them. But the Trump regime, unlike the Biden regime, is not a criminal regime. Insane thing number 14, Trump's on one hell of a tear. He fired the head of the TSA. Gone. Transportation Safety Committee that's supposed to oversee the safety of air flights wasn't doing a good job. Wiped it out. How about the head of the Coast Guard? Bye-bye. Fired. In fact, there's 1,000 more Trump announced the beginning of the week that he's firing. We don't have the full list of names yet. Folks, this is a great start, but it's a drop in the bucket. To regain control of these weaponized federal agencies, we'll have to fire tens of thousands. But the good news is, this is an indication that Trump intends to. Insane thing number 13. Trump vowed to do this when he ran in 2016, but never did. Probably because he never fully captured or managed to control the Department of Justice. But here's the announcement. Sanctuary City Democrat leaders who stand in the way of deportations, refusing to cooperate, will now be arrested for the crimes they're committing. Good. It's about time. Insane thing number 12. Headline. Department of Justice freezes all civil rights division cases. Yeah, because a lot of them are going to be thrown out. Insane thing number 11. The Trump administration gives all federal agencies till the end of the day on Thursday, 5 p.m. on federal working time, to shut down their DEI offices, diversity, equity, and inclusion. What these offices basically do is work on exclusion of straight, white, Christian people from the workforce. That won't be happening anymore. Insane thing number 10. Donald Trump demands the Taliban return our $7 billion in U.S. military equipment that Democrat Joe Biden gifted them, despite them being the enemy for 20 years in Afghanistan and injuring or killing over 2,000 of us. Democrats don't care about stuff like that. Well, the Taliban said no, but I don't think it was optional. I can't wait to see what Donald Trump does next. He could probably start, though, by defunding the millions of dollars we send our former enemy, the Taliban, every month for God knows what reason. We're just stupid. We could just cut that money off, and that'd be a good place to start. Bombing them in their homes? Even better. Insane thing number 9, the sheer volume of what Trump is doing. I mean, just this week, he announced $2.5 billion deals. Actually, they totaled $1.1 trillion total. One for AI, the other one with Saudi Arabia. There was a $100 billion deal 2 weeks ago. At this clip, he may personally rebuild the economy with deals he does himself. I've never seen anything like this from a president. It's full John Galt. But he knows to defeat inflation, he's got to grow the economy at a massive clip. And apparently, he intends to cut the deals to do it himself. I've never seen another U.S. leader do this, and I've certainly never seen another world leader do this. This is way beyond the job description. Extra credit for Donald Trump. It's what it's going to take to save the U.S. monetarily. Insane thing number 9. Trump strips the security clearances for all of the 51 spies who lied. Lied to cover up the fact that the Hunter Biden laptop was actually Hunter Biden's. But what they really lied to cover up was if the Hunter Biden laptop was actually Hunter Biden's, then the crimes laid out on it were actually the Biden family's. That's why they had to lie. In punishment for that lie, which resulted, you remember, in the censorship of the biggest story of the 2020 election, specifically censorship of the New York Post, Donald Trump stripped the security clearances from all 51 of the spies who lie, which means there's now a lot of CIA directors, assistant CIA directors, FBI directors who are virtually unemployable in the private sector. Those security clearances are worth somewhere at their level between $250,000 and $1 million a year. Contractors hire them. They go find out what's going on the inside and then advise the people who hire them on how to conduct their business. Well, they won't be doing that anymore. And that's a good thing. These people are too untrustworthy. Quite frankly, they should be prosecuted, but definitely too untrustworthy to have access to any kind of intel. Thank you, Donald Trump. Insane thing number 8. Well, it looks like Joe Biden could have closed the border all by himself all along. This shows you what a lie the Democrats told us when they claimed that they needed legislation for Joe Biden to close the border, but that Trump was lobbying against it. Total lie. By day two of the Trump administration, the Border Patrol was catching just 776 people along the full 700-mile border. I'll let Tom Homan contrast that with what was going on under Biden, since Homan is Trump's deportation czar.
The greatest president in my lifetime, he's back. Because in 2 days, last 24 hours, total apprehensions on the southwest border, 766. Compare that to the 10 to 12,000 Biden had at one time. CBP one releases, zero. CHNV, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela releases, zero. Total of 766 across the entire southwest border. That is a game changer.
And folks, again, that was just the first 48 hours. What about week two? I mean, if we're down to just 766 on the entire 700-mile border in 2 days, again, week three, I can't wait to see it. This was always an easy problem to solve. Thank God Trump didn't allow that legislation to pass. You know why? Because he would have been required to let 3,000 illegal immigrants in a day before he could close the border. You know why they had that legislation? I think that they knew he was going to win. They already had the polling, and they wanted to write it into law that the flood had to continue and he couldn't stop it. Thank God he was able to lobby and defeat it. Because again, day two, we're at only 766. That's great news. Insane thing number seven, Donald Trump cancels our refugee program. Like all of it? Yep. Pulled it up short, came to a skidding halt. The media was horrified, including stopping. Listen to what they were flying in here under refugee status. Folks, once you take somebody into the country under refugee status, you can almost not get rid of them. 1,600 Afghans were supposed to fly here just this month. Folks, the government of Afghanistan, they're terrorists. They're the Taliban. We fought them for 20 years. You can't vet these people. They could be taking them right out of the resurrected Al-Qaeda training camps that we now know are running in Afghanistan and send them here. We'd have no way to know. Absolutely no way to know. And they're called SIAs. We didn't used to take them at all under Barack Obama. Just this month's flight from Afghanistan contained 1,660, canceled, turned the plane around. But that was only part of it. Just one example. The Trump administration also canceled plans for, get this, 10,000 refugees who had completed a years-long vetting process. This is not the Afghans. This is in addition to that, to resettle in the U.S. Some of them literally canceled their flights. This is how many refugees were supposed to come just this month. Canceled. Done. Again, folks, I've explained this to you before. This refugee program is only intended to be used for a couple hundred people a year for the most dire situations. It is not, was not intended to be turned into a voter drive where we run around the world and recruit the people most likely to vote Democrat. That is, by the way, why they're bringing the Afghans in. They're Sunni Muslims. The only group on earth that votes Democrat at now a higher rate than black people, Sunni Muslims. Unfortunately, Sunni Muslims, that's the same sect Al-Qaeda comes from. Yeah, they're also the Muslims most likely to be implicated in terror attacks. Shia Muslims do terror attacks too, but not nearly at the same rate. It's almost always Sunni Muslims of the Wahhabist strain, which is exactly what we were getting out of Afghanistan. According to the article, it went further than that, with the Trump administration telling the country's refugee program not to request travel for any additional refugee cases at this time. So this is a cold, hard slam on the brakes on the Democrats' voter recruitment plans using the refugee program. Insane thing number six. For some reason, this stayed in the top 10 stories all week. On the tracker app that I use to plan my shows, the company I work for pays thousands of dollars for it a month. So I always have people ask me, you know, can I get it? No, you can't get that app. But one story lingered for days. That almost never happens. And it's the story of Jamie Dimon, head of JP Morgan Chase, the country's biggest bank by assets, asked at the World Economic Forum in Davos, hey, Trump's tariffs sure do suck, don't they? And he actually said, get over it. A tariff? is just a tool to bring people to the table. It depends what you do with them. In other words, he told them, pound sand.
Yeah, look, I look at tariffs. They are an economic tool. That's it. They're an economic weapon, you know, depending how you use it and why you use it, stuff like that. I would put in perspective, if it's a little inflationary, but it's good for national security, so be it. I mean, get over it. National security trumps a little bit more inflation, but I think it really, the question is how they get used. Can they be used to bring people to the table? Yes. Is there some unfair trade? Yes.
Okay, to understand the turnaround this is, that guy is the Democrat, used to be the Democrat chief bundler and fundraiser on Wall Street. He was raising money for Kamala Harris no less than 6 weeks before the election, which leads me to my favorite story this week, also involving JP Morgan Chase, the country's biggest bank by assets. They've had to set up a Donald Trump war room that they fully staffed. It operates 24 hours a day, analyzing his flurry of economic announcements because they are so novel and will have such an impact on the economy. They need a fully staffed war room just to keep up. They've never had anything like this before. Mary Erodes, she's the head of the bank's asset and wealth management unit and seen as the likely replacement should Jamie Dimon, the number two in charge, should Jamie Dimon choose to abdicate the throne, told the World Economic Forum in Davos, so she's one of those, that the animal spirits are alive and that this is such a, quote, very pro-business environment, unquote, that they need the war room to constantly analyze what Trump is doing so they could advise their wealthy clients. Yay. Insane thing number six. Folks, this shows you the pure, raw power of tariffs. And just mentioning and talking about tariffs, did you see this? India, the country of India, which they're, you know, good trade partners of ours, definitely allies of ours, but oftentimes a little sketchy because they're also BRICS members, right? Listen to the power we have. Donald Trump has not yet brought up or mentioned the idea of tariffing India, but they're already getting ahead of it, making a formal unsolicited offer to take back all 18,000 Indian illegal immigrants in this country. I had to laugh because, first of all, I didn't know there were 18,000 Indian illegal immigrants in this country. But how do they know there's 18,000 Indian illegal immigrants in the country? Anyway, unsolicited, they'd offered to take them all back as part of, you know, trade talks with Trump. Let me translate. They're terrified. The whole world is terrified of America finally actually using the economic power we have. Folks, we wouldn't even need to go to war most of the time if we just use it. Insane thing number five. Donald Trump's already laying down the first markers. 25% tariffs will be slapped on Mexico and Canada by February 1st, unless they do what he wants. Now, the head of Mexico, who's a socialist, attempted, at least in public, to laugh in Trump's face. But she's all talk. They have no power to stop Trump's mass deportation plans. Let me tell you why. Trump announced the tariffs on Monday. By Wednesday, the peso had crashed. Yeah, the facade is crumbling. No, seriously, why does she have no power at all here? Well, we give Mexico, and this has got to stop, $63 billion in taxpayer-funded foreign assistance every single year. And what is that money for? To stop illegal immigration. Yeah, they haven't exactly done that. And they really need the money. But no, that's not even the source of our power. Here's the source of our power. And this is why the peso crashed this week. More than 80% of Mexico's exports go to the U.S., causing most of its economy to depend on American markets. And 92% of Mexican agricultural exports go to America. Look, she was blustering earlier in the week, as I said, about no, she's leaving the border open. She has to do that or the cartels will kill her. That government is basically a narco state, a failed one, and they control those politicians. You don't win unless they want you to. What Trump's doing here is giving her cover to have to make these decisions. Or we can just strangle the Mexican auto industry destroy and decimate its factories, and go ahead and wipe out its economy. Either way, we'll win in the long term. Folks, they're saying tariffs of as little as 10% could wreck the Mexican economy within months. By the way, ditto for Canada. A recession forecasted within 6 months if the Trump tariffs go on Canada. So we're about to get our way. It's going to be glorious. Sit back, wait for it, and then enjoy it. Insane thing number five. We're going to have a bird flu pandemic. That was announced this week. Now they put out a press release and everything. It's already pre-planned. Bird flu pandemic. Well, wait a minute. Who put out a press release? Oh, the Department of Health and Human Services. That's a federal agency. The actual headline on it was HHS provides $590 million to Moderna. Well, wait a minute. For what? $590 million? Oh, to develop the bird flu vaccine. Let me translate. They're planning another pandemic. When Moderna starts making a vaccine, that's how you know the pandemic is coming soon on its heels. Moderna began making the COVID vaccine in 2019. We wouldn't learn the name COVID until 2020. So what is this? This is the federal government preparing for that. The date on this announcement, by the way, was January 17th. So they did this before Trump came to office, but it escaped notice until this week. Again, what is the funding for? For initial vaccine, an mRNA one, of course, which means it'll kill more people than the actual bird flu. But it's an mRNA vaccine, H5N1. H5N1 is the strain of the bird flu first developed by the federal government, the very strain that the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, predicted back in 2021 would become the next pandemic. The reason he believed that is because the formula for how to make it was published online. Now, the strain currently operating, spreading around the country, they find it in ducks, in chickens. It has now jumped to cats in the last few weeks. Then they find it in cow milk. It's actually killed a very small number of people, mostly people who work around birds. That particular strain is the same strain that I'm talking about here, H5N1. So if you read this carefully, the vaccine is for H5N1, but it's also to build the mRNA platform for other bird influenza strain vaccines too. What does that mean? They're going to try another pandemic. As Redfield has warned, and I've played you his clips for years. Again, he's the former head of the CDC, not some conspiracy theorist. He was Trump's appointee, by the way. What that means is they are definitely planning a bird flu pandemic. It will likely be more deadly than COVID, and we just don't know the date yet. But then you didn't need me to tell you that, did you? I mean, you've seen the news. The brainwashing's been going on for, gosh, 18 months now. To prepare the public to think it's normal that a deadly bird flu would break out so soon after COVID accidentally, but conveniently broke out just in time to stop Donald Trump. Insane thing number four.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
or in a single 24-hour period, one of the two new fires in California, the Hughes Fire, overnight, single night, burned 10,000 acres. And as of Thursday afternoon, was only 14% contained. Folks, the Democrats, as I've said to you before, they have learned they can burn down their cities within their blue post-American, post-constitutional territories and get away with it if they do it through bureaucratic sabotage and bureaucratic neglect. And that's exactly what they're doing. You and I both know they hate their donors, they hate their base, but they especially hate the wealthy. So it's super duper weird that these fires seem to be burning down the most expensive real estate. This one headed straight for Brentwood and for Bel Air, resulting in 30,000 people being evacuated and another 21,000 getting evacuation warnings. Want to know how this ends? I'll reference a previous podcast from last 2 weeks about what happened in Maui. It's a year and a half later, and the folks on Lahaina still can't get permits to rebuild. Not a single one. And that is exactly what's going to happen in all of these areas. This is just the clearing out phase. And again, folks, I don't know that anybody deliberately set these fires. Maybe they did, but I doubt it. They didn't have to. Folks, if you look at the Palisades in the canyon next to the Palisades, okay, the debris, the fodder for the fire had been allowed to get 50 feet high. That's why you have the inferno that you do. That's why it burns as hot and as long as it does. They've done this through bureaucratic sabotage. It's absolutely planned. They knew eventually that it would happen. How do we stop this? The best way to stop it, Donald Trump's figured this out, is to simply say, no, the federal taxpayers are not going to give you the money to clear out your voters and build 15-minute smart cities, which coincidentally, as these fires burn, is the theme topic of the World Economic Forum's meeting this year, right now, going on at Davos. Total government control. Everybody lives jammed on top of each other in these cities. So how do you prevent them from doing this? How do you stop the fires? Trump's got the idea. No aid to rebuild LA, and that's going to be astronomical, by the way. We shouldn't do it at all, but no aid to rebuild LA until California agrees to unleash the billions of gallons of water that it dumps in the ocean every year instead of letting it run from the north of Californians, creeks and streams and underwater and into the water table, which would, folks, lead to ground not being dry and these fires wouldn't be anywhere near what they are, but they divert the water. So number one, it can't be used in reservoirs. It can't be used to put out the fires, but that it also creates a virtual tinderbox, all of this on purpose. Here's Trump vowing, and I hope he sticks to this, no aid for LA until California stops the bureaucratic sabotage. Folks, this will stop the fires if they think they're not going to get the money to rebuild these cities after they chase out the liberal wealthy elite.
I don't think we should give California anything until they let water flow down into their
state. From the north to the south.
This is a political thing. I don't know what it is. You know, they talk about the Delta smelt. It's a little tiny fish like this.
I went out.
They say it's an endangered species. Well, how is it endangered? No wonder it's endangered. It's not getting any water. How do you, if you have a fish and you're stopping the water, isn't that going to hurt the fish?
By the way, as I explained on previous podcasts, this isn't about the damn fish. They haven't even found one of these since 2016. They think they're effectively extinct. No, this is about California's war with farmers, which is ultimately California's war with food. It's the same war you're now seeing the Europeans fight with farmers as they attempt to conquer farming and destroy it. It all comes out of the 1970s depopulation movement, the idea being, well, if there's less food, there'll be less people. They never explain how you get from the less food part to the less people part, probably because you wouldn't want to read it. But the whole battle started there in California with the diversion of water so as to destroy millions of acres of very rich farmland, artificially. They're Democrats. It's what they do. Insane thing number three.
You know, did you know that Biden, while I was making my speech, pardoned his whole family? The brother, the whole deal was pardoned.
Can you imagine that? While I was making my speech.
Yep. Proof? It wasn't a right-wing conspiracy theory. The Biden family was always a crime family. And we know specifically what they did. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know what they did. You know about the IRS whistleblowers who were only allowed to come forward. That's because of the deal they had with the FBI and the DOJ expiring. The IRS whistleblowers were only allowed to come forward this fall. Remember, they told Catherine Herridge three things. Number one, the Biden family took at least $30 million illegally from the Chinese. They didn't report it to the IRS. They didn't pay taxes on it. Number two, that Joe Biden was the big guy and that the federal government, federal investigators, including with the IRS, had always known that. They knew that back in 2019, that it wasn't just Joe that got the money. It wasn't just Hunter that got the money. It was the whole family. And Joe was the big guy, that he took a 10% cut. They told Herridge, and again, these are the two investigators from the IRS who were initially investigating the Biden family. They told Herridge, yeah, we knew the whole time that Biden was the big guy. So did the FBI and so did the DOJ. And the third thing, the evidence was all on the Hunter Biden laptop. That's why John Brennan, head of the CIA, and the other 50 spies who lie had to lie about the laptop being Hunter's in order to cover up Joe's crimes so he could be president. Anyway, in other shocking news, you might have seen that Anthony Fauci got a pardon as well. Now, what people don't know about that pardon, and this is the truly shocking part, Biden said, well, you know, I had to do this because he said some mean things about Trump during the pandemic, so Trump might try to take revenge. But what most people don't know, that pardon goes all the way back to 2014. What in the hell did Fauci do? And how the hell does Biden know what Fauci did? Enough to know that he'll need a pardon going back to 2014. It's a critical question we've got to answer, even if we can't prosecute Fauci. Insane thing number two. Less than 72 hours into the new Trump administration, the traffic on the border, apprehensions down 35%. Folks, give Trump 6 weeks. Those border patrol, they're going to be bored. There's not going to be anybody there. Proving, once again, the Democrats lied. They could have done this the entire time. They just didn't care to because they were running a future voter drive at our border. Well, Trump threw that voter drive in reverse at warp speed this week. Take a listen.
President Trump's immigration crackdown is ramping up, with ICE arresting over 530 illegal migrants just yesterday, including child sex offenders, four Trende Aragua gang members, and a suspected terrorist. Some of these raids occurred in Buffalo, New York, St. Paul, Minnesota, San Francisco, Chicago, and Newark, New Jersey. ICE also arresting multiple MS-13 gang members, rape suspects, and murder suspects in Boston earlier this week. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt saying, quote, the largest massive deportation operation in history is well underway. Promises made, promises kept.
And it's truly shocking who this dragnet hauled in. This is Bill Malusian, the immigration reporter for Fox News, on just what turned up in the Boston. This is just Boston immigration raids.
An MS-13 gang member wanted in El Salvador for aggravated murder. And he has an Interpol red notice out for his arrest. This illegal alien from Brazil, who has an Interpol red notice for armed robbery. This Salvadoran illegal alien, charged locally with rape and released by a sanctuary jurisdiction. This Dominican illegal alien, charged with assault with a deadly weapon and heroin trafficking.
Bill Malusian's been doing this for a long time. You'd think he'd seen everything, but even he sounded shocked by what they found in just, again, in Boston, where he was embedded with an ICE unit that was doing these raids. They were going on, by the way, all over the country in blue sanctuary cities.
When I see some of these rap sheets, like aggravated child rape, rapes, attempted murders, I ask them, okay, how are these people on the street in the first place for you guys to go after? Like, who's releasing these people? And they all just give me the same answer. That's Massachusetts for you. That's Massachusetts for you. Like, these severe crimes, they get really low bails, so they're just let out, and then they ignore ICE's detainer request. So, I mean, if you just go on ICE Boston's press release website every day, like, they're getting these horrible arrests every single day. Child rape, sexual assault, murder, fentanyl trafficking. And it just makes your jaw hit the floor because all these people are out on the street free. And the locals just won't cooperate with ICE. It's mind-boggling.
Folks, these are the Democrats' future voters. There's only one moral value in the Democrat Party. Understand this. I'm going to make this make sense. Total power. That has not changed since the time of Marx. They don't care who gets raped. They don't care who gets murdered. They don't care about the mayhem. And they have a total, absolute, and complete disregard for human life. I find examples of that almost every single day for my show. All they care is about the numbers. And you got to admire them for the single-minded focus. We need a single-minded focus to fight them. All they care about is, will this person fit a demographic that could become a future Democrat voter? If so, doesn't matter if you're a child rapist, terrorist, or wanted by Interpol in several countries for murder. You are welcome in America. Keep in mind, folks, this is the same Democrat Party that tried to put Trump in prison last year for 700 years. That was the total max potential sentence time for all the crimes he was charged with across the five cases. And that they, and yet they let this trash, this human debris, wander the country. But no more. By Friday afternoon, the first Air Force plane had arrived for deportation. Pentagon, by the way, says that these flights, these deportation flights, going to run round the clock. And they've got space for 5,000 in the first tranche of flights. By Friday mid-morning, guess what? You got to see the pictures. They've got these all these young military age men handcuffed with zip ties being marched right up the gangplank, the back of an Air Force plane to be deported. It's a beautiful sight to see. And folks, I mean, 500 a day is what they're going to have to do to even have a prayer. Again, even better, after completely freezing our refugee program, Trump's Department of Justice just halted all federal legal aid to illegal immigrants. So this is the money that we spend to help them stay here and be better Democrat voters. And finally, insane thing number one, my favorite thing this week. Did you ever see that movie Braveheart, where at the end, Mel Gibson's about to die and he yells freedom and stuns the entire crowd into shame and silence? Yeah, Trump kind of sort of did a thing like that before the World Economic Forum. Let me set this up. Immediate past president Klaus Schwab, and you could tell it's still his operation watching what's going on at Davos right now, opened the forum meeting this year by assuring the world leaders at the World Economic Forum that they were still in charge and well on their way to the totalitarian regime they've worked so hard to build despite Trump's election.
The world faces critical challenges, extreme weather events, misinformation and disinformation. The future is shaped by us, and particularly shaped by us here in this room.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that, buddy. Well, Trump clearly wanted to disabuse them of that notion. To understand what Trump said to them in the speech, you got to understand last year's theme was mis and disinformation. Every Davos meeting has a theme, and the need for a worldwide crackdown on speech, which we absolutely saw in the last year. So Trump opens with a bold declaration that America is free now and there's not going to be any more censorship. He's telling them, this was your theme last year, buddies, and you failed bigly.
I'm pleased to report that America is also a free nation once again. On day one, I signed an executive order to stop all government censorship. No longer will our government label the speech of our own citizens as misinformation or disinformation, which are the favorite words of censors and those who wish to stop the free exchange of ideas and, frankly, progress. We have saved free speech in America, and we've saved it strongly.
Folks, this is literally as the World Economic Forum is holding roundtables with the world's most powerful people sitting there as they're planning on how to censor speech using AI and declaring that citizens will not have free speech anymore. Only the machine will. Listen to this. This is from one of their speech squelching forums this past week.
What we've enacted is free speech for algorithms, not free speech for citizens. We're seeing an uptick in violence in the United States against LGBTQ people. Everything from attacks at drag shows to trans women being murdered on the street.
And then the best part. Trump turns to the audience, which includes Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan, and looks him dead in the eye. He can see him on the screen and says, "What you're doing is wrong," and tells him to stop censoring conservatives. Okay, remember what the background is on this from Bank of America. They, without a warrant, Bank of America turned over all the banking records of anybody who bought a ticket to travel to the Capitol around January 6th or bought a gun and traveled to the Capitol. So you could have just been there to visit your mother-in-law. It wouldn't matter. They turned it over. Even worse, remember what else Moynihan has done? The Treasury under Janet Yellen was running searches for people. And my name would be on this. I would have turned up anyone who bought a religious text, Bible or otherwise, anyone who bought pro-Trump merchandise, anybody who bought a gun, ammo, or anything from an identifiable gun store, and a whole bunch more categories. Again, no warrant. Bank of America turned it over. But even worse, Bank of America and JP Morgan Chase have been debanking conservatives, and Trump looked right at them and told them to stop. And folks, you may not know this. First Lady Melania Trump revealed in October in an interview with Fox News that she was a victim of debanking. Quote, "The bank suddenly informed me they will not be able to do business with me anymore," that she says. And Bank of America has been accused of using the practice against conservatives. And we know what they've done in all those other instances. Well, you know what I love? Moynihan, sounding nervous, he sounds nervous to me, didn't deny any of this and changed the subject. Listen to the exchange. This is the Trump I love, the Trump I wanted, the one who will stare down these people and say, no more. Call them out in public. Create shame. That is what it's going to take to make a lasting impression in our society.
And by the way, speaking of you, and you've done a fantastic job, but I hope you start opening your bank to conservatives, because many conservatives complain that the banks are not allowing them to do business within the bank. And that included a place called Bank of America. They don't take conservative business. And I don't know if the regulators mandated that because of Biden or what, but you and Jamie and everybody, I hope you're going to open your banks to conservatives, because what you're doing is wrong.
Mr. President, I'll say that your friend Gianni told me to tell you hello, and we look forward to sponsoring the World Cup when it comes, both this summer for the club and next year. So thank you for getting that for the United States.
That was Moynihan responding again. He doesn't deny it, does he? Now we need to change it. Have a great weekend.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.